This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. God's I wills. Now, in the past couple of sessions, we've been talking to you concerning vision, concerning the priority of work, you know, in a male's life. And it's so important, work is so important in a male's life that the female gets her fulfillment, you know, by being wrapped up in the male's work. You know, we talked about, you know, in our early session this morning that when Eve met Adam, first of all, on last weekend, we talked about God ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And the gist of that message and the purpose of that message was to alert us and to inform us that God does things in a particular order. We got to watch God how he does things and watch God how he do things because, you know, the way God do them, he's very brilliant. He's intelligent. He's very smart. You know, he don't need correction. Matter of fact, he says, I'm not a man that I should repent, nor the son of man. I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. You know, so we got to watch God how he does things because, you know, and then follow his doing. And we were talking this morning how God wouldn't put a plant in the earth, neither did he allow the herb of the field to grow until he created the man. And when he created the man, or the male in essence, because we actually got into it by talking about foundation. We were talking about the code of ethics in the kingdom and how the code of ethics is the foundation and is displayed in the life of its citizens. You know, and when we start talking about foundation, we got into, you know, when God created the human society, how he started with the male man. Now, any contractor knows that when you get ready to build a building, you always start with the foundation, because it's important that the foundation be right, because everything in that house rests on the foundation. Y'all got to hear this. You know, and we were very specific in that because, you know, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of the devil's or Satan's strategies or his devices. You know, we're not ignorant of that. And we've always got to be reminded of that the devil does have strategies. He has devices and they're aimed at us. Now, when God got ready to start the human family and the human society, he started with the male man. And like I said, any good contractor knows that when you start to build a building or a house, you always start with the foundation. Why? Because everything is going to rest on the foundation. The walls are going to rest on the foundation. The kitchen cabinets, the toilet, the shower, the bathtub, the furniture. The carpet, the tile, the lights, everything rests on the foundation. One pastor says that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we talked about the word righteous. Righteous is not a religious term. It's a legal term, and it means in right standing. So if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Then we apply that to the man, to the male man. When we look at the male, God started with the male, indicating that the male would be the foundation of the human race. So the male being the foundation of the human race, here is the strategy of the devil. The devil says, why attack the women? See, God has no problem, or the devil has no problem with a woman coming to church. You know, the devil has no problem with our Sunday schools being filled with children. You know, that ain't the problem. The devil does have a problem when the male comes to church. When a male comes back into the relationship with God, that's a problem for the devil, because the devil knows that's the foundation. And if the male gets back in the presence of God, you know, what was it? Genesis 2, verse 6, it says that, you know, God basically, he wouldn't put the plant in the ground. He didn't cause the herb of the field to grow until he formed the male. Now, when he formed the male, the Bible says, then he planted a garden east within Eden. Isn't that awesome? That the male was the answer to God's problem. God had the problem that he didn't even plant a tree. He didn't even plant a watermelon. He didn't plant a peach. He didn't plant an apple. He didn't plant a fig. He didn't plant a pomegranate until he made the male. And when he made the male, he says he put the male in the garden to work it and to keep it in order. And look how specific God is. When he made the male, or he formed the male, you know, he put the male in the garden. Isn't it awesome that God didn't allow us as the male man to discover the garden? He put the male right where he intended the male to be. Now, we talked about Eden. Eden meant, you know, the most important thing, it meant presence, or the presence of God. It was a doorway or a gateway into heaven. It meant spot. It meant delightsome place. But most of all, it meant presence. Eden is not so much a place. It is an environment. It is an environment. And God put the male in that environment. Now, watch how important that environment was, you know, as we move into God, our wills. The environment is so important that, again, God didn't allow you. He didn't allow me as a male to discover that presence. He put us where he wanted us. It's like the sun, the moon, the stars. You know, God put them in the firmament. It's like the plants. He put them in the soil. It's like the fish. He put them in the water. He didn't let the fish walk on dry land, and they walked and walked and walked. And then they got to a pond or the sea, and they said, "Oh, that's water. I discovered water." And then they jumped in the water, and they said, "This is where I always needed to be." No. God put them there. Because in the water, a fish is functional. In the firmament, the sun, the stars, and the moon is functional. In the soil, a tree is functional. I ate some peaches yesterday. They were sweet, nice peaches, you know, and they came from Georgia, and they came out of the soil. The peach tree grew in the soil and produced the crop and satisfied me. Hallelujah. And guess what? And the reason that tree produced the fruit is because it was functional. Now, if you take the tree out of the soil, that's called dysfunction. If you take the fish out of the sea or the water, he dysfunctions. If you take a star, you've seen a falling star before. When it falls, it falls into the atmosphere and burns up, become a meteorite and burn up. It's dysfunctional. If you take a mailman out of Eden, he's dysfunctional. You know, people were writing about the dysfunctionality of the family. You know, you got to go back to the mailman. And I tell people this all the time. If God wants to fix humanity, fix society. I walked into a restaurant the other day, as a matter of fact, we go in there just about every day for lunch to eat. And there's a young lady in the back that, you know, fixes the food. And I told the earlier class this year that as she was fixing the food, you know, I tell them how to fix my plate. I said, take that rice and put it in the big compartment, you know, then put the chicken on top of the rice and then put some gravy on top of it. Then put the salad in the other. But she's back there farming, putting the rice in the small compartment. I said, no, I'm going to teach you how to fix a man's plate after a while. And she says, well, I don't have to worry about that, because I'm married to a woman. I said, that's why you're so confused back there. I said, let me show you how to fix a man's plate. You put the rice in the big compartment and put the chicken on top of it. Because the male man has become dysfunctional, it shows up in the female. It shows up in the children. It shows up in the household. You know, and the devil knows this here. So males walk around with a big target on their back. The devil, Satan, is after us men. And this is why settings like this are so important. For males to get together and find the mind of God, what God always intended for the male. Now, that's not cutting the female out, because when the female, see, when you go on down in Genesis, the Bible says, and God said, it's not good for the male to be alone. See, that was God's idea. That wasn't my idea. That wasn't Amadeus' idea. That wasn't Robert's idea. Terry didn't come up with that idea. Juan didn't come up with that idea. Charles didn't come up with that idea. Milton didn't come up with that idea. God came up with that idea. He said, it's not good for the male to be alone. And then God said, I will make for him an help That's meat for him. Now, it was so interesting. You know, this morning, I took the first class, and let me take you to it also. Go to that verse, Genesis 2, verse, I think, what is it, 18, 19, when God says, it's not good. Yeah, verse 18. It's not good for the man. When you look at man there, it's actually male. Man, in the course of creation, man is the spirit of the woman and the man and the male. The woman or the female and the male. When God made humanity, he made two models. Two models. He made a female model. Okay, stand up a female. Let me show you, since sometime we don't any female. That's the female model. And he made a male model. Give me a male model. All right, he made a male model. There's only, if you're anything else, you're not human. According to scripture, you know, if you're anything else, if you're not a female or male, you're not human. And there's no such thing as a male being trapped in a female model. And there's no such thing as a female being trapped in a male model. God was very specific. He knew what he was doing. And whatever he did, he said, and it was good. All right? So that's why we got to learn God's ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, how God did it. So he says, it's not good. Now, notice, the Lord said this here. It's not good that man should be alone. He says, I will make. Now, the word is different from the word. Now, underline that word make in your Bibles. All right. Then go back. Where is it where it says, is it 2 verse 6? Two verse five, I think it's 5 or 6. Go back to that passage, 2 verse 5, 2 verse 6. Is it 4? 4, where God formed. Which verse is it? Where God formed the man. 7? All right, 7. And the Lord God, noted, formed man of the dust of the ground. Formed that male. He formed the male. Now, how did God do the male? He formed the male. When he just formed him. All right, that's what he just formed him. I do sidewalks and slabs, and what we just form them up. And just form them, just put them together. But then you go back to verse 18, it says, God says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make. Now, make is... Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you're being blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar, pray over your request, and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877 877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. Make means the shape. It means the shape. You know, that when we form something, we just put it together. But when we shape something, you know, you take your chisel and carve out and do all the curves and you shape it. That's why the female model is different from the male. The male model is just straight up and down. All right? Female model, she got all those curves in the right place. That's why it's hard for a male, you know, to have a female pass by and he not look. You know, God did that. God knows that a male, he did. God knows that a male is bent or is inspired by what he sees. You know, this is why God took his time when he made the help. You know, that when he presented the help to the male, he wanted the male to say, wow. You know, that's the first thing that caught the male's attention when God shaped his help, you know, and he presented his help to him. Wow. Now, that got his attention, but he didn't know that there was more to her. And that's the problem with a lot of males. We don't know that there's more to them. Let me say it again. We don't know there's more to them. They got doctor degrees, BS degrees. You know, they got associate degrees. You know, they come wired to help us. When God presented my wife to me, I mean, she was a musician, had an accountant degree, and, you know, raised in the church. She knew church protocol. See, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor, but God knew I was going to be a pastor. And God wired her with everything that I needed in there, you know, to be a help to me. I mean, she knew how to sing. I can't sing. She could. You know, I didn't know how to play no instrument. She could. You know, she could pray. You know, when I say pray, she knew the language. She knew the prayer language. When I say fast, she knew the fasting language. She came wired with everything that I needed to help me. You know, all I needed to know is what to do with the help. Come on, y'all. So I had to have something for her to help. I had to have a work. I had to be working for her to help me in the work. If I wasn't working and doing this kind of work, you know, she wouldn't be playing music. She wouldn't be, you know, practicing. She wouldn't have no keyboard. She wouldn't need it because I'm not doing nothing. So for me to be doing something, she said, you know, I can help you with that. You know, since you're going to have a ministry and have a work, then you're going to have a worship service. I can do those songs. I can play. You know, I can pray. I can pray for you every day. I can pray for the people every day. I can love on the people. I've seen it. I'm wired for it. So when God says, I'm going to make a help, then we talked about the word meet. Take it to that scripture in Colossians 1 verse 12. Colossians 1 verse 12. That same word meat is in Colossians 1 verse 12. So it says in Colossians 1 verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us what? Meat. Meat means and qualified. So your spouse, your wife is qualified. Every woman should be qualified. Now notice, God says in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it says, when a man or male, finds a wife, you know, he finds a, and obtains with the Lord. So that female is wired. She's qualified. You know, she is, that's what the word meet means. Watch it again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us qualified, bona fide, certified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who did that? The Father did. The Father did what? He qualified, bona fide, certified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. I use Mama Brown. Mama Brown said she met a lady, and the lady told her, said, Mama, Ella, you know, I'm sorry that you're driving all the way over there to go to hell. You know, you're going to church to go to hell, all right? But I said, hear what Mama should have told that lady. Put it back up there, 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us, which has qualified us to be partakers of the heirs of saints in life. Here's what Mama should have told her. Look, you don't have no heaven or hell to put me in. The Father have qualified me to be a partaker of the saints in life. So who are you to cut me out the body of Christ? Oh, come on, shout with me. See, can't nobody cut you out the body of Christ? Can't nobody cut you out? You know, if the Father did it, and let me show you what else the Father did. Go to verse 13. Hear what the Father did in verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You don't know what I used to be. You don't know what I used to do. But the Father do, and what he did, he delivered me out of the power of darkness and has translated me in the kingdom of his dear son. So you're going to tell me, you're going to take me out of the kingdom of his dear son? You don't have the power to. You know why you don't have the power to? Go to Colossians chapter number 3, verse 1. Y'all done got me started here. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. As a matter of fact, you don't even know where my life is. My life is hid with Christ in God. So how are you going to take me out of God? How are you going to take my life out of God? My life is hid with Christ. That's why the devil can't find you. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. And the thing is, you can't cut me out of there. And let me show you what's going to happen. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So to me, you telling me I'm going somewhere where I'm not going. I'm not going to appear till he appear in glory, and I'm going to appear with him. Now are we the sons of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him and see him as he is. I'm trying to explain meat to you, but I got off on that. But bottom line is, can't nobody cut you out the body of Christ? If you're in the body of Christ, you're in the body of Christ. And if they don't discern that you're in the body, that's their fault. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some are sickly and some even sleep because they fail to discern the body of Christ. Everybody touch somebody and say, I'm so glad you're in the body.
I'm so glad you're in the body.
Yes. So that word in verse 12 means to qualify. All right, go back to verse 18 of chapter 2 of Genesis. And it says this here, Genesis 2 verse 18. So the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him a help. So a woman is created to be a help. You're to help your husband. Not your man, your husband. You got to watch our culture and our terminology today, because people are not even married and they're talking about that my old man. Look, well, God didn't create you to help your old man. He created you to help your husband. All right. And he says that this help that he's going to make is qualified for the male. So Adam went back to work. You don't believe me? Look at verse 19. He went back to work, and the Bible says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. See, Adam went back to work. You know, God saw Adam working. God saw Adam doing all of this. And God said, it ain't good for the man to be working all by himself. So see, the woman, not even then, the man is working. So in the ABCs of God, listen, woman, don't you hook up with a man that ain't working. Talking about, you know, when we got married, I'm going to get a job. Now, before you hook up with him, make him show you what he's doing Make him show you his vision on paper, and then make sure he's working on it right now. Talking about, you know, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to make $1 million a year. Well, that's good. You're dreaming, you know, but what you doing right now?
Yeah.
See, that's why, you know, that's why it makes so much sense, Robert, in the Hebrew concept now, doesn't it? See, in the Hebrew concept, a man wasn't allowed to get married until he was 30. And when he got married, he had his own house. He had his business was well established, you know, and he was able to take a whole year off, Sister Davis, and cheer up his wife. Somebody ought to say help. So y'all know we can't even take a week, 2 weeks off. All right. Verse 20 says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. See, God hadn't made him, but Adam was working, but God hadn't made Adam's help yet. And I'm so glad. See, Adam recognized that I done named all these things, and ain't none of these things qualified for me. The mule, the donkey, the giraffe, the gorilla, the chimpanzee, none of them. The dog, the cat, all this foolishness that go on in society today, ain't none of them qualified for me. The sheep, the goat. Ain't none of them qualified for me. They can't help me. Let me say it again. They can't help me. Let me say it again. They can't help me. And if a male thinks they can help them, they're warped in their mind. That's why we can't be conformed to this world, but we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, Adam says, none of these can help me. So verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made. He shaped a woman and brought her unto the man, or to the male. Now you notice, woman, God just put prefix on it. She's a male, but she's a female. She's a man, sense of a man, but she's a woman. A woman means that she's a man with a womb. Now, male, if you got a mate and they don't have a womb, you got the wrong one. That's God's ABCs. I don't want you to be confused in this saying, God. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. I don't want you to be confused in this here, and God don't want you to be confused in here, because God is a genius, very smart, knew just what we need. She's a male. She's just a female. She's able to carry a fetus. So, male, if you got a mate and they can't carry a fetus, you got the wrong mate. See, and the devil knows this here. The devil knows this here, and that's why he's working so hard on the male man. If I can crumble that foundation, see, if I can take the foundation out, I can take the woman out and the children out at the same time. So I ain't going to bother fighting the children and the woman. I'm going to fight the male. And if I ever get him to go down, I get humanity to go down. So when you look at it, a few more minutes, you know, when we talk about God's I wills, in Proverbs 20, verse 18, put that passage up there. We told you, quoted the scripture to you, that many are the plans of a man's heart, but God's purposes will prevail. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, every purpose or every intent is established by counsel. Now, the thing is, and then it says, and with good advice, make war. Don't just jump out there. Don't just jump out. Jesus says, what man, you know, who's going to build a house, don't count the cost first? What king that go to war, you know, don't see that he have enough soldiers, you know, to go against this other. And if he don't, he go out there and make peace. So you got to count the cost. But with every purpose, you know, it says is established by counsel. So we understand God has intents and he has purposes, you know, and he did things in particular order. So who did God take counsel with? If every purpose is established with counsel, he took counsel with himself. That don't mean you can take counsel with yourself. I mean, oh, my soul, what should I do? No. See, the Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now that's for us. We don't take counsel with ourselves. But God took counsel with himself, because it says that when he went to swear by somebody, you know, that he would do what he would do, he looked around and he kept looking around and he couldn't find nobody greater than himself, because you always swear by somebody who's greater than you. And he couldn't find nobody greater than himself. So the Bible said that he swore by himself. So when he went to take counsel, he looked around for somebody to ask, you know, is this the right way to do it? And am I doing it the right way? And he couldn't find nobody greater than himself. So he counseled with himself, and then he looked at it and did it, and he said, it's good. So God's counsel is good. It's fitting. So I want to show you a little story, you know, in the Bible, that take just a moment here, that as we establish, you know, God's counsel and God's will, you know, over our plans. And I want to show you what God had in plan from the very foundation. God always, listen to me, always wanted a people, you know, that he can use right here on earth. Even when Jesus came, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, teach us to pray like John's disciples taught them to pray. And Jesus says, okay, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth. How? As it is in heaven. Yeah. So we've learned, you know, over the past few weeks and months that we're trying to get to heaven, but God really wants heaven to come to earth, right? And how does he want it to come to earth? Through us. That's always been God's will. That's why he created man, a male and female in the beginning, because he wanted male and female to dominate the earth, replenish the earth, and do exactly what's on the earth, what's in heaven already. To duplicate it. So that it's almost like we have an annexation. We annexed some more of the city recently. As a matter of fact, where I'm standing right now was not a part of the city when we bought this property. Okay? So, but you can stand over by that door there, and it was part of the city. So, one part of this church was in the jurisdiction of Bay St. Louis, the other part wasn't. So, you can do a crime right here, where I'm standing, and the Bay St. Louis Police Department would say, they come to that door and say, I wish you was over here. I can't do nothing to you because you're out of our jurisdiction. As a matter of fact, you know, we put the restrooms in the jurisdiction of Bay St. Louis so we can get water. See, if we were to put them on this side, we'd have had to get it from the well. So, when we annexed, you know, the area, we took it all the way to Interstate 10. What happened is now that those citizens are now part of the city of Bay St. Louis. They should have the same rights as the citizens of Bay St. Louis. You know, so if you would come to one of the council meetings, they say, well, we want sidewalks, we want lighting, we want our streets paved, we want city water, we want city sewer. They have a right to demand that. Because when you annex something, you want what you annex to look exactly like downtown. Whether it's colonization, whether it's annexation, you know, you take in a territory to make it look like you. You know, you look like America haven't always been America. We were colonies at first, you know, and we were under the colonization of the British Empire. So the thing is, if the king ever came here or the queen ever came here, they wanted America to look exactly like where they left. They didn't want to come over here to some wilderness. No, they wanted to come over here and make it look just like it was the country that they left. That's why you go to some of the islands in the Caribbean, you know, they look just like Britain, British. You know, I took my wife down to Barbados, and that was her first time, you know, in an island that had been colonized by the British. And they drove on the wrong side of the street. We call it the wrong side because that's the way they drive in Britain. And you know, they spoke funny language. They spoke with an accent. All right. They built their houses close together. You know, that because that's the way they do in Britain. They drink tea. You know, I was with Pastor DeBorg in Trinidad, and I noticed that a certain time of the day he drank tea. You know, upon my investigation, that's the way the king did. That's the way the queen, they drank tea four times a day or so many times a day. So you don't drink coffee? No, we drink tea. You know, tea is their main thing because that's the way the British do it. You make it look just like it was where you came from. All right. So when you look at God's I wills, God had a purpose. And in this story in Exodus chapter number 5, I'm going to take you there and just say some things for a few moments. And then we'll pray, and I release you to go and enjoy the rest of the day with your family. Exodus chapter 5. So God's plan has always been, his will has always been, to have his children, which is you and I, to be kings in the earth, and to bring the earth heaven. That if God ever left heaven and come down to earth, it would look exactly like it look in heaven. There will be worship going on. Come on here. There will be obedience going on. There will be a lifestyle that depicts the kingdom of God. There will be submission. There will be obedience. There will be people that I think in one of the in Trinidad, they sing a song, you know, "All Hail the Queen" or "All Hail the King," you know, talking about how she's going to rule and how he rules over the seas. You know, they sing that song about the King or the Queen of England. You know, well, the Bible says that there's a group there in Isaiah 6 that says, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And the doorpost shook and the glory filled the room. Solomon did that. They come into the temple during dedication, and it says that the priest couldn't even minister because of the glory of the Lord. Why? Because somebody was worshiping. So here, God has a problem. The problem is that his called out people or his assembly or his church, his ecclesia. Ecclesia is better known, you know, from the Romans and the Greek. It was an assembly that was the administrative part of the kingdom. And Stephen, in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen said that Moses was a part of the church in the wilderness, or he was a part of the ecclesia in the wilderness. See, the church didn't just start in the New Testament. God has always had a called out people that he could show or express himself through in the earth. But God runs into a problem, baby, here, because there's another nation that have enslaved his called out people. As a matter of fact, they not only have enslaved them, they put them under bondage, under severe bondage. And what they're trying to do is frustrate the purpose of God. As a matter of fact, the devil did an all-out attack, you know, on the people of God in Egypt, and especially aimed at the male man. I'm going to say it again. What Pharaoh did, Pharaoh said, told his people, he says, put more work upon them, oppress those people more. Now, the reason, the way God's people got down there was through Joseph during the time of famine. But God had already told Abraham that I'm going to bring your seed, your people, my people, you know, into a nation for 430 years, and they're going to serve that nation. But after 430 years, I'm going to bring them out. So now God's people is down in Egypt, and Egypt, the Egyptians become afraid, and they say, well, we gotta enslave these people, because if we don't enslave them, if war break out, then they're going to join the other nation, and, you know, we're going to be in trouble. So let's make them our slaves, our servants. And they did. And the Bible says the more they oppressed them, the more they grew. The more they grew. And then it says, Pharaoh got a bright idea and says, well, let's do this here. Let's kill the males from 2 years and under. Let's kill them. See, I'm telling you, the strategy of the devil has always been aimed at the male man. You know, even in Jesus's day, you know, Herod put out a decree. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call in to this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar, pray over your request, and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone, and then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. Herod put out a decree, let's kill all the males 2 years and under. What? Is aimed at the male. It wasn't with every nation. It was just with God's chosen people. It was with God's people. That's who they wanted to kill, the males of God's people, because the males had to take the lead. The males had to learn the word. The males had to lead their family. The males had the covenant, the oracles of God. So let's kill the males. So they kill the males, and we have a situation. God's people is enslaved, and God is ready to get his people out of slavery. If you're going to be bound to somebody, God says you're going to be bound to me. So look at this, if you would. In the fifth chapter, this is after God met Moses there at the burning bush. Moses met Aaron, and God gives them a command, tells them that I'm going to visit the children of Israel. Now go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So in 5 verse 1, it says, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in. And they told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Verse 2 says, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Never heard of no Lord. Who is he that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. I am not Israel. Israel means, you know, the one who have seen face God face to face. He's a prince with God. That's the name of God's people. Matter of fact, God calls Israel his firstborn. God calls Israel his son. And Pharaoh has him in bondage. And Pharaoh tells Moses, the ambassador of God, and Aaron, the ambassador of God, I don't know no Lord that I should obey his voice. And I am not going to let his firstborn go. I'm not letting his people go. All right. So verse 3 says, and they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go. We pray thee 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Verse 4 says, and the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Y'all go to work. You know, audience with me, go to work. Verse 5 says, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Talking about some Lord, some God come to visit them. I'll tell you what, verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, verse 7, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. But, watch this, verse 8. And the tail of bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Now there's a wonderful principle wrapped up in that, that when we're idle, we start doing other things. And sometimes we don't do the right things. I just want to bring that principle out. You know, a lot of men, a lot of males are idle. You know, leaning against the wall, hanging out with the boys. You know, and when you get idle, you know, the old people used to say, idle mind is the playground of the devil. Well, he can have a lot of fun. I don't know whether it's the playground, but he can really have a lot of fun with you, okay? But Pharaoh says that the people are idle. We ain't going to let them go. And matter of fact, I'm going to make them do something that they ain't never done before. Now listen to this principle, and then we're going to go on. As a male, because the woman's fulfillment is wrapped up in your work, most males only do the bare minimum just to get by. It takes somebody coming along, putting some pressure on them to show them that they can do more than they thought they could do. And what's the more? Mama, we ain't going to give you no more straw. Amadeus, we want you to make the same amount of bricks. And Robert, we ain't giving you no straw. You see, and that's what we do. Like Rob done, Rob said, man, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. You know, but what the Egyptians did, when they put that whip on our backs, you know, when they put their whips on them Hebrews' backs, the Bible says the people scattered out all over the land looking for something. They found something that looked like straw. It's in the Bible. Read it. It said they scattered out over the land and they found something that looked like straw. It wasn't straw. It didn't look like straw. We're going to make these bricks. We're going to give them what they want. See, so we learn a principle there. You can do more than you think you can do. Adam didn't know he could name all the animals until he was put in that position to name them. Until you put in a position, you don't know what you can do. So, now, the Hebrews are in a situation. They were glad when Moses and Aaron showed up, and now they're in a situation. You know, they even go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, get out my sight, you're idle, you're idle. Go do what I told you to do. Make some bricks, and we ain't give you no straw, and don't you diminish the count. And the people looking at Moses and Aaron and said, y'all done put us in an evil cause. We won't hear about no Lord no more. So Moses and Aaron, look what they do. Look in verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, and who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said, verse 21 says, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you made our Savior to abhor in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why, you know, you sent us down here and gave them people hope, and now they're in a worse condition than they're in now than it was before we got here. At least they had straw when we got here. They ain't got no straw now. So why you did so evil to this people? This Moses and Aaron asking God, why you did evil to this people? Why is it that thou hast, as a matter of fact, why did you send me? That's what Moses, verse 22, why did you send me? Verse 23 says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he had done evil to this people, and neither have you delivered thy people at all. I haven't seen no deliverance at all. Let me tell y'all something. They got 10 miracles to go through. And they got to do more than they ever done in their life. Sometimes before things get better, they get worse, but better is on the way. Come on, somebody touch somebody and say, better is on the way. Sometimes worse comes to sap your energy, sap your praise, sap your hallelujah. But the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at. See, you got to know that if God says something to you, he says that I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm not the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I don't care how bad it looks, I'm going to do it. And if I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. Don't you let hard times sap your praise and sap your worship and take you away from God and crush your testimony. You got to know that if God said it, he's going to do just what he said. So in chapter 6, it says, then the Lord said, when Moses told God that, God started talking again. Come on, tell somebody, God's getting ready to talk now. And hear what he said. He said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. See, God not blind. God see what's going on. Now he said, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. He says, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. Oh, he said he's not going to let them go? I said he is. Pharaoh said he's not, but I said he is. Now, whose report are you going to believe? See, your situation said you ain't coming out, but God said you are. Your situation said I'm going to keep you, but God said it's not. Ask somebody, now, who report you going to believe? Listen to God's purpose. Listen to God's, you know, I will. He says, with a strong hand, he says, shall he drive them out of his land. As a matter of fact, he's not just going to let them go. He's going to drive them out. He's going to say, y'all get out of here. I don't want y'all around. Get out of here. Take whatever y'all want. Take, look, go. Here's some silver. Here's some gold. Here's some clothes, some furniture. Look, here's some beasts. Here's some carts. Here's some Rolls Royces, some chariot. Take whatever you need and get out of my land. God said, not only is he going to drive you out, but he's going to send you out with substance. That's God's promise. Now, when you in the situation, you know, you can't see the promise. Because it's anguish and it's burdensome. And I got to gather straw and make the bricks and not come short. So the promises of God, you're waving them off, you know, man, it's too hard. I don't want to receive the promise. Amen. You're going to change that. When they tell you to make bricks without straw, you need to get happy. Knowing that your deliverance is at hand. Knowing that, I'm down just as far as down can go. And there ain't no way up now but up. Because I can't go no lower. There ain't no more he can do to me to break my spirit. And if he couldn't break my spirit with that, there ain't no way up but up. So he says, look what God says. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Come on, let me assure my ambassador first before you lose hope. Let me assure my messengers first before you lose hope, before you get the spirit of the people. I am the Lord. I want you to know that, Moses. I am the Lord. Say that with me, Moses. You're the Lord. Say that again, Moses. I am the Lord. Say it again, Moses. I am the Lord. You got to know who you're serving. You got to know who's God. Pharaoh, listen, I'm going to use a word that is not in English, ain't God. Your situation ain't God. God stands up and tells Moses, I'm God. Then he says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Then he says, and I have also established my covenant with them. Now, what God's doing in your life and in my life is based on covenant. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the word is working in your life and how you're being blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you.